Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Tom Spooner. Tom is an Army veteran who served nearly 21 years, which included time as a Green Beret and a Delta Force operator. Since retiring from the military, he has successfully enabled thousands of warriors to acknowledge their struggles, seek treatment, and understand that they're not alone, which is something that we like to do here on this podcast, is remind people that they're not alone in what they're going through. He's dedicated his life to healing fellow warriors and started Warrior's Heart as the first private addiction treatment center in the U.S. that is exclusively for the military, veterans, and first responders. So welcome to the show, Tom. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to being on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background and a little bit of who you are for people who may not know anything about you.
Okay, I'll give the general once over, and then we can dive into whatever.
Sure.
For that, so I came into the. I'm originally from South Florida. Came in the military whenever I was 20 years old. I spent 5 years in the 82nd and the 1st 504th from 90 to 95. I was in the Gulf War right as soon as I entered the service. And then, so 90 to 95, I was in the 82nd, 96 to 2001, I was in 7th Special Forces Group as an 18 Charlie explosive engineer guy, pre-9/11, and I worked Central and South America. And then from 2001 to 2011, I was out at Delta as an operator, had 12 deployments, 40 total months time in combat. Retired in 2011, had 20 years, 10 months, 29 days, but you know, who was counting? So I got, I ended up getting med boarded out, but I retired. And then whenever I got out from 2011 to about 2015, I did a lot of work with the, I didn't want to learn anything new. So I just did the pistol carbine CQB sniper route with law enforcement predominantly, some military units. And then in 2015, the end of 2015, we acquired the property for Warrior's Heart. And then from April of 2016 until current, that's where I spend most of my time, you know, is working out at Warrior's Heart. So that's the once over. I have been married for 32 years this year, and I have 2 sons.
Yeah, awesome. So I want to dive into Warrior's Heart and what that is and what it's all about and why you decided to start that.
All right. So what it is and what it's all about is it's a healing center for active duty veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. It's a 42-day inpatient treatment facility. Primary diagnosis is chemical dependencies, and then all the co-occurring conditions from PTS to moral grief and injury to mild traumatic brain injury. It's on a 540-acre ranch in Bandera, Texas, which is about an hour northwest of San Antonio. And we've been open since April of 2016, and to date, we've had almost 1,700 warriors come through.
Oh, okay. And what prompted you to start Warrior's Heart?
Well, that's a longer story. It's
we got time. Go ahead.
So, it started, you know, whenever I came into the military. So I struggled with alcoholism at a young age, and in my first couple of years in the military, you know, it was just grace of God that I didn't get in trouble. But I was a high performing, high functioning, hard drinker, alcoholic. That was my thing. And I got sober in 92 with 12-step program with AA. And once I got sober, I continued that getting after it, you know what I mean, from that day till this day. And I just, you know what I mean, enjoyed, number one, being relieved from all that, you know, felt pretty hopeless and all that at that time. And I got sober on Fort Bragg, you know, so it was with fellow soldiers and military members and civilians also. And so that kind of set the tone for me as far as September 2nd of 92 is when I got sober, and I continued to do that throughout my whole career. So that's the one piece of Warrior's Heart as far as subject matter expertise, you know, definitely not saying I've seen it all for sure, but I've seen a lot in 29 years. So I'm kind of really comfortable in that vein. So that was a big part of it. Was recovery from chemical dependencies piece. And then for me, also by the time I ended up getting out, I had a pretty significant in 2006, I had an undiagnosed traumatic brain injury. I ate a mortar round, probably about 20 yards away. And I didn't know it. I mean, everybody back in that time frame, you know, I knew it had been blown up. So it wasn't like anything special, you know. But what I do know is I can tell you what my life was like up until that moment. And I can tell you what my life has been like after that moment, you know? And so that was, like I said, I had undiagnosed traumatic brain injury. And then, you know, being on the job and all the deployments and stuff, I had accumulated, I like to say earned, a good amount of post-traumatic stress, you know, for the job, you know, And so whenever it came time in 2010, timeframe 2010, 2011, I had to decide whether I was going to stay in or retire, you know, and I was like, well, I couldn't wear kit anymore, a bunch of other injuries along with all that other stuff. So I couldn't wear kit. And I was like, well, if I can't do the job, then it's a good run. I'm going to go ahead and get out. And so I started, you know, getting all my physicals and everything. And then that's when it discovered that, like, wow, I had a significant traumatic brain injury. I was operating at like 50% processing speed, my words, and then 50% of verbal memory. So I was in a pretty really rough spot. The only reason why I didn't is hypothetical, but to me, the only reason why I even had a chance, you know, in not taking my own life was I didn't have the chemical dependency struggle. You know, because usually it's that trifecta or combo of it, you know, between self-medication, traumatic brain injury, you know, and PTS. So I just had the two, you know, and I already had a lot of good training under my belt for emotional tools, mental tools. And then I was like, man, I need some help, you know, plus I was getting out, you know, so it was, you know, it was just the perfect time for me. You know, so I went to cognitive therapy, vestibular therapy, psychological therapy. I even had to get on a light dose of meds for about 8 months because I had a little chemical imbalance going on. And so I got better. The thing is with all that treatment and everything, you know, after about 4 months of really getting after it, you know, I started getting a little bit better. And I just couldn't imagine, I had a really good reputation, came from a really known unit. You know, I had a lot of people trying to help me out along the way, and I was still struggling big time. So I couldn't imagine. It's like, hey, well, what's happening to that PFC, you know what I mean, that got blew up on his first deployment, you know, and then gets, you know, medically discharged, you know, what happens to that guy, you know, with no help? Guy or gal, you know, and it's, well, they end up taking their own. I mean, that's why it's 22 a day, you know, or 20, 22, pick a number in between, you know, the better suicide rate. Right. So I needed a new mission and a new purpose. Whenever I got out of the military, and like we had talked about before, I'm an NCO, I understand mission and health and welfare of the troops, you know, so I just redirected all my efforts I didn't want anybody to suffer the way that I had suffered. And I didn't want anybody to not have the availability and the options, you know, of seeking whatever kind of treatment that they need, you know, or treatment. I like calling it training, you know. It's like, yeah, hey, I just need some more training in certain aspects. And so So the, all of that together, you know, in 2013, I met a guy that would become my partner, Josh Lannon, at what I call a fun and gun. It was for the YPO. We were putting on a 3-day event for him, and you know, a lot of pistol, a lot of carbine, little, you know, watered down version CQB, little missions. You know, it was really good. It was really good training. And I met, that's when I met Josh. And Josh at the time, he didn't serve in the military, wasn't in law enforcement. He had been sober a good amount of years, and he was running at that time 6 treatment facilities in between Utah and Arizona. And his 7th one that they were going to, him and his wife Lisa, were going to open up was going to be one for veterans, you know. So we, I met him during that time, summer of 13, and he's like, hey, this is what I was wanting to do. And I was like, well, you know, I'm kind of into that, you know, it's kind of my jam. And, right. And so we started the relationship together. We started, you know, the planning and all of that endeavor. And then, but that was kind of the genesis of it is, you know, we ended up acquiring the property in 2015 and then got licensed in 16.
So it sounds to me like, so there's your personal struggle that you had going through, you know, the early days with your, the alcohol, and then later on with your struggles with, the TBI, the PTS, and everything that you had that culminated over that 20 years, right? All that stuff just piled on. And that story is not unusual where people who deploy, especially multiple times, they're more likely to wind up with these injuries, whether they're mental or physical injuries. But you're right. There's also those PFCs who are on their first deployment and they get blown up and then they get medically discharged, and who's there for them?
Yeah.
What are they going to do at that point? So it makes a whole lot of sense that there would be something like this around for these people. And I'm glad that something positive came of it, and it didn't just wind up being one of these things where you're wallowing in your own, you know, misery or whatever. You
well,
know
yeah,
what
I mean? No, I had some days of that, you know,
sure.
But the thing that pulled me out of it, and I think it's everybody that I know's story, you know what I mean? That has kind of hit a bottom, kind of, you know, really not doing well. And that's, you know, another warrior, you know, is who, you know, my best friend, you know what I mean? That I served with, you know, he just wouldn't let me go. I was always honest with him, you know, he's my best friend. So I talked to him about everything. And he's like, man, you're all screwed up. You need to go get some help, you know? And I was like, well, everybody I know is like me. He's like, well, that doesn't matter. Like, I'm talking about you, you know? And it was all out of love, you know what I mean? And he didn't want to see me go down the road that we've seen so many go down, you know? So it was, you know, whether it's family members, friends, you know, fellow warriors, like that's usually the catalyst, you know what I mean? Of kind of the old boot in your ass, you know? Of
like, yeah. Man,
yeah. Because I had a great support network. I had a great family. I had all of these things that would set me up for success, you know, but I had a lot of damage, you know what I mean? I needed to work through, you know, mm-hmm. And that's the thing about it is that, cause like what you had said, you know, ideally it's the VA that picks up, you know, where it left off, and you'll never hear me talking bad about the VA, right? There's a ton of just incredible human beings, you know, trying to do the right thing and help guys out there. But the system's completely overwhelmed, you know, depending on the location. You know, if you're in a place that the population, you know, veteran population is kind of low, it's some of the best healthcare that you're around. And if you're in an area where it's well populated, you know, then it's just an overwhelmed system. But I mean, but that's when it comes to Warrior's Heart, that's what, like, it wasn't like a better widget or, hey, how can we tweak something and make it better? it occupies a place that didn't exist, you know, because if what we were doing was working, then we wouldn't have the veteran suicide rate that we do, or the suicide rate in law enforcement and first responders. So it was like, okay, well, what's the need? Cause you know, we talk a lot about suicide, you know, and cause it's obviously so prevalent. And the thing is though, with our community, most folks, if they want to take their own lives, they just do it. You know, I mean, it's usually the story is something like, well, I knew they were doing bad, but I didn't think it was that bad, or wow, I didn't really see it coming, you know? So it's like, how do you get ahead of that? You know? And for me, it was just in my observation of all the years, it was, well, the majority of the folks that I know that when they did do the final act, you know, and take their life, they were on something, whether it was alcohol, prescription drugs, illicit drugs, you know, they were self-medicating all the way up until that point, you know, so if we can get ahead of it, you know what I mean, at that self-medication piece, you know what I mean, then potentially we won't get down the road, you know what I mean, to that one. So that was the thought process going into it, and really kind of the, you know, the why of hitting the self-medication. And it was what my wheelhouse was, you know what I mean? I have personal experience with that. And so it was, that's the biggest thing that I was trying to talk about anyway, is like, there was just this big gap of like, man, who's helping these folks out? Cause everything is so siloed off, you know, hey, go here for your PTS, but don't talk about that chemical stuff. I mean, I know you're coming in drunk, but like, hey, we're, you know what I'm saying? If you're going for chemical dependency therapy and counseling and stuff, they're like, hey, don't bring that war stuff in. You know what I mean? Hey, this is about that. And it's like, man, that is it the chicken or the egg? You know what I mean? Is it the unprocessed trauma that makes me self-medicate, or is it the self-medication that brings up the unprocessed trauma? And it's like, well, who cares? And we have to treat them both. Like, I'm a whole person. I need to treat both. And that's what we do at Warrior's Heart. We have behavioral health folks, or dual diagnosis, they call it. And then we also have the chemical dependency counselors, because you can't hit one without the other, you know, and that's what we do different out there. Cause that was a lot of struggles for me, you know, current brain damage going on, trying to figure out what to do next. And my executive functioning is the part that's messed up, you know? So I'm, there's an issue. You see, there's no problem with that.
Right. But it sounds like the being more proactive versus reactive is what's making a difference in these people's lives, by trying to get at the root of the problem, as opposed to waiting until it's too late. And then like, oh, wait, now we're reacting to this situation, but there's nothing left to react to, right? After they've taken their life, there's nothing left to react to. So you kind of have to do something about the problem beforehand. And that sounds like what you're doing is being proactive about it.
Yeah. And it has to, you know, I had to, and everyone has to define it, you know what I mean? Because we always talk about in the military, well, just in life, you know, it's having purpose, you know, task and purpose, you know, I mean, that's just drilled into us. And then once I had left the military, you know, I didn't have that context. You know, that was the beauty of the military. You didn't have to think about anything. I knew what I was going to wear. I knew what time I needed to be, you know what I mean? It was, yeah. I didn't have to do much thinking. And then once all that was removed, it was like, man, what now? You know, why am I getting up? Why do I need to be motivated? Why, you know, all of that. So, I mean, I had to define, you know, a new purpose. And for me, a new team, it was like, okay, I'm out of the military now, you know what I mean? So, hey, number one on my team list, because they were always there, but now they bumped to number one, was my family, you know? Yeah. And it's like, hey, I'm not really good at taking care of myself, but I'm not going to let you down, you know? So it's the big trick for me is that I know I want to be there for you. So in order for me to be there for you, I have to do the things that I need to do so that I can be available. And so that was, for me, is just defining that purpose of like, okay, what am I doing? It's like, hey, I'm going to get better. and I'm going to help other guys. The simple version of it is like, hey, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get better, whatever kind of treatments, whatever kind of schools, training, whatever's out there, I'm going to get after it the same way I did in the military. And then I'm going to try to help that next man along, you know, and
right.
that became my purpose. I chose that to be my purpose, you know.
And that's kind of like the saying that they have when you get on an airplane and they talk about the oxygen masks that come down, put your mask on first before helping out others. Like if you're passed out because you didn't put your mask on, you're not going to be of any use to the people around you. So you have to take care of yourself first in order to help out other people. And that analogy, I've used that before in the past, but it makes a lot of sense with regards to your own mental health, especially as a spouse, a father or a mother or just a friend, a coworker or whatever. If you're not able to hold up your end of the bargain of whatever relationship you're in, then you're not really going to be a whole lot of use to that other person. So you do kind of have to take care of yourself, and it's not a selfish thing to do, because I've heard some people say, well, that feels selfish, right? To take care of myself and not take care of my family. But in order to take care of your family, you got to be able to take care of yourself first. So you got to prioritize those things and take care of yourself so that you can take care of your family, right?
And just like you were saying, it was a learned skill for me, though. You know what I mean? Because it did, when I initially started doing that, it felt like I was being selfish. You know, whenever I was like, man, I need to take this time, you know what I mean, and do these tasks, you know, and it felt like, man, I'm being selfish, because, you know, in the military, it was always others, 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 you know, and it's still that way, you know, still service. But how I made it made sense in my mind was, it was just like doing PT. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you do it because that's what you do. Because if you don't do PT, then when the team needs you to, you know, then you're not going to be ready. So you do it anyway. So I was like, oh, this stuff is like going to the range. It's like doing PT, you know what I mean? It's like eating, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I kind of just reconfigured that in my head. And but at first it was a lot of like, man, this feels like I'm just being selfish. But I had to intellectually, like you said, I had to just keep beating it in. So it was like, no, I'm doing this so I can do the other stuff, you know? And I'm horrible at it. You know what I mean? I'm a lot better, right? I've made a lot of progress, but I still, it's a trained skill for me, you know what I mean? To, hey, make sure and take the time to do whatever it is that I'm doing, you know, because I'm the first guy that'll be like throw a little pity party, you know, of like, man, I used to could work out so hard, or I used to be able to like,
right.
Hey, come on, you know? Like get with the program, like get in gear.
What advice would you have for someone who maybe feels that kind of selfish attitude or even shame about seeking out any sort of mental health treatment because of maybe the stigma around it? Who they're maybe just afraid to even go ask for help because there's that stigma there. They're afraid that someone's gonna, you know, think less of them, or they feel like we were just talking about that they're being selfish by taking the time to go take care of themselves like that.
Yeah. It's, so with that, there always will be a stigma there, you know, I mean, maybe one day it'll change, but, it's definitely gotten better, you know, in the military and outside, you know, but that to me, it's all about, changing the narrative. You know, and one of the slogans that we have at Warrior's Heart is that strength through healing, and it's not just a slogan. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I mean, that is how I got stronger, was by identifying the things that I needed working on them, and that made me stronger. You know, and a lot of that had to do with emotional, spiritual, mental healing, and that's. First of all, I'd like to say to the people just like me is that if you're feeling, like you said, a little bit selfish or, man, there's this stigma or, man, I don't want people to know, that's absolutely normal. right? I mean, I can't remember the day when I was making my goals, my life goals, to be like, man, I can't wait till that one day I can go to an AA meeting, or man, I can't wait for that day that I get my first psych appointment. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. Or going to the TBI clinic. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like finally, you know what I mean? I finally made it. Like never.
No one wants that. Yeah.
Never on my short-term or long-term goals list. Right. But that's where I ended up. And I just, the biggest thing that I love talking about is just desensitizing that crap. You know what I mean? If I'll just say, if I needed, you know what I mean, to up my game and my pistol shooting, I wouldn't think twice about going to a course, you know what I mean, that some big time guy was running, you know what I mean? Or some fundamentals course, you know, I wouldn't even hesitate, man. If I had an opportunity for extra training, I would jump on it, you know? So for me, it was just about tapping into that mindset. It's like, okay, man, I'm struggling with my emotions. I'm trying working out. That's not really working. I'm living a good lifestyle, but I'm still having a little bit of struggles. It's like, well, okay, how about getting some more training, man? Like going to an expert, you know? And so that's the thing for me, is just really desensitizing. Like, I remember this is how bad it was for me. I was so concerned whenever I was on active duty about, you know, like, man, I don't want anybody to know. I knew, like I said, I've been sober for a while. I knew the principles of healing, you know, and getting better. It's like, man, I got to talk to somebody, you know, but I was so sketched out by it all. You know, I was like, well, I found out this thing called, I think they still have it, I'm not sure, but it was called Military One Source. And basically you got 10 free visits, like off the books, at a civilian place. That was kind of my crawl, walk, run as far as seeking help. You know, I mean, I didn't just all of a sudden be like, okay, I need help. You know, I was still, man, it was because especially like, you're not supposed to talk about it. You're supposed to be strong. You're supposed to handle your own business. You know what I mean? All of that stuff. And that was what was raised on. And it is true to a certain degree, you know what I mean? Of like, yeah, that as a man, that's what I'm supposed to do. But also as a man, whenever I find myself struggling with something, and like I said, I would do it with a pistol. I would do it with a rifle. I'd do it with driver's training. I'd do it with first aid. I'd be like, man, who's an expert or a trusted resource, not some idiot, you know what I mean? But a trusted, vetted resource.
Right.
And seek it out, you know. So that was a really long way of talking about what you said, though, man, of just like, yeah, I just want to improve.
And I get that, too, because just with anything else in your life, you go to an expert for things that are broken, yeah, in your life. If you have a plumbing issue, you call a plumber, yeah, right? Yeah. Unless you happen to be a plumber, you're experiencing that kind of stuff in yourself, then yeah, fine, you can maybe handle it. Or, you know, an electrician or a mechanic for your car or whatever. You go to those experts who know that stuff, and no one's looking at you like, oh my gosh, you can't handle your own plumbing? Like, right. Like, exactly. Well, no, like, I'm not a plumber, so I know, right, I can't handle my own plumbing, and I'm trusting this expert is going to be able to come in and do it and do it well. So no one's looking at me like I'm crazy for going to talk to a plumber or an electrician or a mechanic. So why would it be crazy to go seek mental health treatment when, first off, I'm not a mental health provider, and I don't have that training and that background. And maybe I'm struggling with something, and something's maybe not right going on in my head, and I need a little help to get over that. And it does make sense not to talk to somebody. So I like the way you put that, and it just kind of clicked with me when you were talking there about, you know, all the other things that you seek out professional expert advice for. You know, if you're drawing up a contract, you go talk to a lawyer. You know. Exactly. You know, because, well, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm probably going to screw something up along the way if I don't do it right. So, you know, there's all that kind of stuff. You seek out the experts, but then for some reason, when it comes to our mental health, people put on the brakes and like, I don't know if I can do that. Right.
Yeah. And the so. And the other thing, to like you said, is desensitize and go into an expert. And also, it's like it depends on where you're at, right? So just back to military aid, right? You got self aid, you got buddy aid, and you need a medic, right?
Yeah,
that's the main sequences. So depending on where I'm at with the struggle that I'm in, you know, I mean, if I kind of is on the fringes, like I might need to do something with that, would then do something with it. Like, I mean, they got all kinds of self-help book. No one will know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Get a Tony Robbins video, whatever your thing is, man. But there's like all these things that like no one's going to know that you're attempting to do some self-improvement, you know? And if that doesn't work for you, you know, or you find that, dang, you know, I'm a little bit more aid, then that's buddy aid, you know, which to me is buddy being the expert. Not buddy being like you said, I got a plumbing problem, so let me talk to my buddy who's a mechanic.
Like yeah,
that's not help.
Right, right.
And so, but then there's the buddy aid. You know what I mean? As far as seek, and then you know, back to you know, if you need a medic, it's beyond our levels of care. You know, then it's like, hey man, you're off the rails or whatever. Then hey, then you're gonna need to take that bold move and like, whoa. Like I tried self aid, I tried buddy aid, I tried, you know, talking to an expert, like, and then like, hey, I need some real, like I need a hard stop, you know what I mean? Reset, reconsolidate, reset, yep. Reorganize, you know what I mean? So I can continue on, because it's all about one thing, and that's continuing on with our lives. That is really like why seek any help, you know, why try to get better, you know what I mean? It's so we can live.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And live well too, right? Not just floating through and letting the days pass by, just checking the box. Okay, I did, you know, what's today, March 28th. Yeah, all right, check the box. I did today. And you know, then move on to the next day. It's doing it and enjoying life and living a good life, right?
Absolutely, man. And the thing is that especially whenever we're out, when we're in also, but there's a lot more assets, but when you're out, it's like, hey, no one's coming. Like, it's self-initiated. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's initiative-based training. You know what I mean? If I want something different, then I have to do something different, you know? And it's a volunteer organization, you know, just like when we joined the military, it was volunteer to do that. And then now outside, in order for me to have self-improvement, you know, or family improvement or whatever it is I'm trying to improve on, you know, I have to volunteer for that, you know, especially once you're out of the military, you know what I mean? Or out of that context, it's like, wow, you know, you got buddies checking you on you and stuff and family, whatever, but you know, we all know that the only way to really get better is going on those long runs. You know what I mean? Is going on, you know, getting up early, you know, when no one's watching, you know what I mean? And putting in the work, you know, and that's, right. And it's not easy. You know, it's, if this kind of work, like, you know what I mean? It's emotional and mental health and spiritual health, you know, improvement, just like physical improvement, none of it's easy, you know?
And if it was easy, no one would have any issues and it would just be, right. It would just be done. And we just check that box. Okay. We're good to go. And, you know, but you're right. It's not easy. And it does take some work.
I tried that, the old, like, well, maybe it'll just get better, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like, but that's like me sitting here in this chair thinking like, maybe I'll just get stronger. You know what I mean? Maybe my biceps will.
Right.
You know, I'll just sit here. And if I think about it hard enough, and everybody knows, like when it comes to, that's why I always, like you said, utilizing physical aspects, you know, to, as a point of reference, it's like, man, we can talk about getting in shape. We can make a plan of getting in shape. We can hype each other up about getting in shape. We can watch videos about getting in shape. But until my ass goes into the gym and starts like lifting heavy objects, you know, multiple times, I'm not going to get any stronger. But the cool thing about that is if I do, go and do that, there's no way for me not to get stronger. You know, I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of different techniques. I could do this, I could do that. But man, if I'm putting in some work, I'm going to get the results. And if I'm not putting in any work, I'm not going to get any results. You know, I mean, that's been my experience anyway. Maybe
right.
Other people can get the osmosis thing. And
yeah, know. There might be someone who's blessed with that osmosis kind of situation.
I wish I was, though.
I'm not either. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't know anyone who's like that, but it, you know, if you're out there, you know, God bless you. But so you said earlier that the program is built sort of like a training program. So why did you design it this way? And how is it different from some of the other programs that might be out there?
So the reason why we use that word training is it's everything that we just talked about, you know, so when I was struggling, you know, with PTS, you know what I mean? Or moral grief and injury, you know what I mean? I didn't have any emotional tools in my tool belt, you know what I mean? To put forth toward those problems, let's say I was coming on. So I needed training with it. And there at Warrior's Heart, it's not a lockdown facility. You know what I mean? It's not take your shoelaces and your belt. I mean, those facilities are in place for folks that really need that, you know, when it comes to self-harm and, you know, that really need that, you know, higher level of care until they get right and then receive the other. But we're not that way. So it's super important that we get what we call our level of care right, you know, and we do that with the screening piece. But it's so we get the screening done because we know that there are intense psychological and mental health issues, you know, schizophrenia, extreme bipolar, multiple personalities, you know, there's that category of issues, you know, we're not built for that. But it's but the rest of it, you know, is so folks show up and everything there is to remind them of who they are, not who they're not. You know what I mean? Because most of the folks, you know, if you go to a rehab, you're not on an upswing. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know what I'm saying? No one just goes like, hey, man, what is that Warrior's Heart thing? Let me think about some self-improvement. You know, let me go to a 42-day inpatient rehab. Like, nope, no one does that, right? We all come crawling in, you know, and that's the entry fee, I guess, you know, and, but the thing is that we weren't always at the bottom. You know what I mean? Most of the folks that the warriors that come out there, you know, are super talented, you know what I mean? Super performers in their respective fields, guys and gals, wherever they come from. And so it's all about remember who you are, you know, because all this that's going on right now is who you're not, you know? So we're going to get rid of who you're not. And then who you are is going to come, you know, beaming through just like it did before. And it's not military like by any means, because most folks wouldn't have any part of that. But however, there's a rhythm to it, right? Like 07 is a accountability meeting. You know what I mean? Make sure, hey, everybody's here, we're all here, we're good to go. 7:30 is chow. 8:30, you know what I mean, is what we're going to do with our first class, whether it's mindfulness, whether we go for a nature walk, whether we get the canines out to get the body moving, right? Like kind of like PT time, doing yoga during that block. 10 o'clock, hey, that's first, we're in the classroom from 10 to 12, you know, 12 o'clock, hit the chow hall for lunch. And then from 1300 to 1700 is metal shop, wood shop, art, gym, more gym time, in the one-on-ones with your clinicians, whether it's a licensed chemical dependency counselor or trauma counselor. You know, then 1700 is chow, you know what I mean? 1800 is phones, and 1900 is back in for the evening class, you know, and then 2030 kind of off free time until lights out at 2300, you know? So it's, like I said, it's not military-like, but it's very familiar because we've all been in an academy, in a basic training, in a courses, you know what I mean? Where, hey, that's the rhythm and that's the flow, you know? So
there's a structure to it.
and the structure to it, right? Because that's the one thing that that we're lacking, you know what I mean? And going there is like, hey, having structure in our lives, specifically when it comes to healing, you know, and processing and, you know, and improving ourselves, you know, whether we think it's like we were talking about before, whether we think it's selfish or we just chose not to, or, you know, we just had kind of came off the rails a little bit there. You know, that structure is what helps us get back into it as far as increasing our function. There's a saying that says structure governs function, right? So it's like, if we get the structure right, then we got a pretty good chance of functioning right, you know? And
that structure takes some discipline. It's like self-discipline to put into place in your own life as well, to have a structured routine to help you succeed in whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. And sometimes people have just been out long enough that they kind of forget about the kind of benefits of having that structure in their life. And so this could just be a good reminder, is like, hey, you know what, maybe instead of sleeping until 9 or 10, you wake up a little early and get some PT in, or you do something with your day, and you get yourself started and start off on the right foot, and you know, don't just clock out at the end of the day and you know, veg in front of the television. You know, you can still be doing stuff with your life and to move yourself in the direction that you're trying to go to, right?
Absolutely, man. And everyone is about, like, that's why we joined, right? Was to serve, right? So we have this service mindset, this service kind of heart set, you know, and there's this world, not, you know, I mean, it's not lacking for folks that need help, you know, whether that's other veterans and first responders and or whether it's just other human beings, you know, I mean, there's a lot of suffering going on, you know what I mean? So,
right.
Those of us that have walked the path, you know what I mean, and of the military and everything, we've got a leg up, you know, on knowing how fulfilling that service work is, you know. And so that's, again, but that's a big thing for me, where it comes back to purpose. You know, if I don't have a purpose of why I should get up and do some PT, you know, tell me why I shouldn't just watch Netflix all day long, you know. You know what I'm saying? If I don't have a why, then that's what I'm going to do, you know, because, you know, so it's, you know, and that whole, you know, I mean, in the military, you know, we never went anywhere by ourselves, right? I mean, where's your buddy check? You know what I mean? Like, hey, buddy, two-man rule. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe occasionally you were on your own, but I mean, 98% of the time, like, it was that. So that's what I've noticed with specifically with folks when they get out, you know, veterans is, you know, next thing you know, it's like, well, I'm just doing this solo campaign of whatever. And it's like, that doesn't even follow a train of logic. You know what I mean? That we've always done stuff together. We've always had a team. We've always had a buddy, you know, and we know it's required, you know, because we're all going to have a bad day. You know what I mean? Doing road marching or whatever on any given day, you know what I mean? Next thing you know, I'm dragging, and Scott, you look at me and it's like, next, you're pulling some weight out of my ruck, and like, cause you're having a good day. You're like, come on, man, we got this, you know, let's go. And then next thing you know, you're sucking, and it's like, hey, give me that stuff back, you know? And that's what I've seen myself, you know what I mean? And others is that they just get so that it's like isolation occurs naturally for some. It's a phenomenon. I don't really know why. It doesn't make really any sense, because we were always so team oriented. And then a lot of isolation, you know, occurs. And then when we're, and that makes it 100 times harder, you know what I mean? To pull yourself up by the bootstraps and all of that, man, that's a tough one. You know what I mean? To go at alone, you know?
Yeah. And like what you were saying before, when you don't have that purpose or that meaning to drive you to get better and do better things, then you're just going to do like what you said, sit around and watch Netflix or not get up and do your PT or whatever. You don't have that purpose. You're not going to do those things anymore. So you know, having people in your life who you care about, they care about you, that could be just like that small step to having a sense of purpose of, okay, why do I even care if I'm overweight and out of shape and everything? Well, maybe because I want to live long enough to see my kids, you know, get older and have kids of their own and that kind of stuff, you know, that's, there's a purpose in that and being there, or, you know, your spouse or your friends or whoever, you know, you want to be a good person for them. And so you do the things that make you that better person by, you know, whatever it is, the exercising, getting the mental health treatment, whatever, you do those things to improve yourself and become a better version of yourself for those people. And not to say that it needs to be all about somebody else, because it definitely needs to be about you as well. But you know, that just helps giving you that sense of purpose. You know, even if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for those other people that you do care about.
Exactly, man. And I was, you know, and I always say I was blessed, you know, I mean, am blessed with the family that I have. So that purpose of moving forward, you know, with the friends that I have, with the mission that I have, that piece. But, you know, if you don't have those things, you know what I mean, and maybe you've lost your family, or, you know what I mean, a lot of people are on a lot of different paths, or you are alone, you'll have to seek it out, you know, unless there's divine intervention occurs, which that does occur sometimes, is, you know, no one's going to knock on your door and try to get you motivated. You know, it's but like I said, you don't have to go very far to find folks in need if you're looking, you know, and whether that's something simple, you know, I mean, it's all around. If you just put forth a little bit of effort of like, man, hey, how can I help somebody out today? Not change the world and all that stuff, you know, but how can I just, you know, make somebody's life a little bit better? You know, you can find it, you know, and that's super. I mean, I talk and talk and talk about service work just because that's what's kept me alive and thriving, you know what I mean, in life, you know, is being service oriented. You know, because I'll be, like I said, before, I'm the first one that'll start feeling sorry for myself and be like, dang, man, you know, it's like, shut up, man. Like, just go outside, start moving, go downtown. You know what I mean? Like, just go for a drive, go for a little walk. Like, I don't know.
And it could be just as simple as finding a neighbor, and maybe an elderly neighbor who needs some help around the house or something like that. And just go help them out, you know, and not with any expectation of getting anything in return, just go and help them out and see if that doesn't start changing your attitude about, you know, serving other people and helping other people out. Right.
I've never had it not affect me. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, just even in the, cause everyone knows, like when you do something for somebody else, however little, however big it is, like you feel like $1 million.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you said, not conditional, like trying to get something out of it, but just by helping someone out, next thing you know, you're like, dang, that was pretty cool. You know what I mean? Or like you just got your little pep in your step. Like it never ceases to not happen whenever I try to help someone. It's like the golden rule, you know what I mean? Do something for somebody else, you can't not get a results from it.
I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, helping your neighbor bring their trash down to the street at, you know, once a week or something like that, or helping them cut their lawn or pull some weeds or something like that because they can't do it or whatever, like something like that. I mean, you think about it and it's such a small thing. It takes what, 5 minutes out of your day to go grab their trash and bring it down to the street. But then when you think about, okay, this person maybe couldn't do it themselves and now you're helping them out, and you know, that just feels good that you're able to help someone out. You know, you're not even doing all that much, but what you're doing means the world to somebody else. Right.
Yeah. And you never know what kind of struggles any human being is going through. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you never know what's going on in somebody's life, you know, whether tragedies occurred, whether they're down in the dumps, whether they're thinking about taking their own lives. I mean, I have no idea, you know, and if I just do that little bit of something, like the things you mentioned, because what usually ends up happening is a conversation occurs, you know, or even if it's a little one, you know, but next thing you know, something always happens. And that's important.
Exactly. So, like any other nonprofit organization that I've ever heard of, or people that I've talked to from these organizations, I'm sure you have some needs that you could use some help with Warrior's Heart, whether it's volunteers or donations or things like that. So for the listeners who are out there who want to support Warrior's Heart in whatever way that they can, what are some of the ways that they can help?
Yeah. So the first thing is that, just getting the word out, because that's the majority of the folks that come to us. They're like, man, I didn't hear of you until this happened. So there's two parts of it. So there's Warrior's Heart, which is not a nonprofit. And then there's Warrior's Heart Foundation. Warrior's Heart Foundation is a nonprofit. And, but so back to your question, the best thing to do is, if you can just have a conversation, hey, I heard about this place, Warrior's Heart, this is what it was about. That's the biggest thing, is just keeping the conversation going. And then the second thing is, if folks do want to donate money or they do want to help promote or anything, then they can check out Warrior's Heart Foundation with that piece.
Right.
Because that's on the Warrior's Heart side, you know, we're TRICARE certified, you know, all of that piece, work with the VA, all of that, whenever it comes to it.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So check out Warrior's Heart Foundation if you guys want to help out and offer whatever you have to offer, whether it's finances, or I'm sure you probably could use some volunteers in some respects. So, definitely check that out. And I will have links to both Warrior's Heart and the Warrior's Heart Foundation in the show notes. So anyone who's looking to get in touch and try to figure out how to help out, or even to, take advantage of some of the resources that Warrior's Heart has to offer. The website has all that information there. You can check that out, see if it would be a good fit for you. I mentioned the website, but are there any other places that people can go to find out more about Warrior's Heart?
The best place is the website at warriorsheart.com. And then on there, so there'll be there's loads of information on the website. And then there's also a phone number that's there on the website too. And if you call the phone number that's on the website, it'll get you to what we call an admissions advocate. So if you have any questions, even if you were calling for a friend, you know what I mean? Hey, I got this buddy, right?
Yeah. Right.
So the best thing to do, and that's what I always promote, is call that number and just start asking questions if you want to. Obviously, if you're looking to come into Warrior's Heart, that's the route. But we call them admissions advocates because the first thing that they do is started advocating for the Warrior. And that's not just advocating to come to Warrior's Heart. Obviously, that's the plan. However, it's more so about whatever the individual warrior needs. You know, it's like, hey, how can we, if a lot of family members will just have questions, but, you know, because that's usually what happens, is family members or friends that call and it's like, you know, hey, my loved one's in this kind of situation, like what should I do? How should I approach it? How, you know, what's the criteria? Any and all questions that you have, if you just call and talk to them, they're incredible human beings that have all of the answers as it relates to that piece, you know, and it minimums sets you in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank you for coming on today, not only just for coming on today, but for all the work that you're doing for helping out the military, the first responders, the veterans who are out there who are struggling alone a lot of times, and advocating really for them to not be struggling alone, to use that buddy aid and that medic, like you were saying in that example, right? To get the help that they need, because it really doesn't make sense to try to do any of this stuff on our own. We're not conditioned that way. That's not how we've been programmed to work with the military context, right? Or even first responders. Very very rare that you're going to see police officers working without a partner or something like that, or EMTs or firefighters not having a team of people around them that are going to go and fight that fire or respond to whatever that call is. We're all team oriented. So why should it be any different when it comes to things like this, like mental health? Why should we sit there thinking to ourselves, we're going to handle this all on our own? So I really, first off, want to thank you for the work that you're doing and advocating for these warriors who are out there struggling. But I also appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story, sharing what you've done through your work in this community, and really helping to raise awareness for the people who are out there, to let them know that there's other things out there. So if they tried something and it didn't work for them, there are other options, and Warrior's Heart is one of them. And I'm glad to be able to help spread the word about that. So hopefully anyone who's listening out there will reach out to Warrior's Heart if they are in that place of need, or if they know someone who is, and get the help that they need.
Absolutely. And thanks for having me on here, Scott. I really appreciate it. It was some great conversations. And like you said, it's no need in doing it alone. We never did.
Exactly.
We don't need to start now.
All right. Thanks again.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.